Welcome to Red Meat, the conservative news update you need from Odyssey stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in. Let's kick things off with the hottest topics of the week, and then we'll move on to the president's speech and the SAVE Act. First up, we've got a bridge to sell you. No, wait, that's Canada. Here's WWJ in Detroit.
The new Gordie Howe International Bridge is finished, complete, and finally ready for traffic. To talk about this and other things is Michigan House Speaker Matt Hall. He joins us live. Thank you for joining us this morning, Mr. Speaker. So far, can you tell us what the delay has been about? I mean, it's kind of been a mystery, but tell us exactly what happened.
Well, the Canadians were taking advantage of Michigan and the United States with this bridge deal. You looked at other bridge deals, like the Blue Water Bridge. You know, the United States would get the toll revenue, we would get property rights. And as we examined this agreement, it was a bad deal. I was really grateful to work with the Trump administration and Howard Lutnick on a regular basis on this. And, you know, what we were trying to do was we were trying to get revenue for the United States and some property rights. So, in the deal that eventually the Trump administration has struck, we're going to see half of the toll revenue for the next 15 years of this bridge. We're also going to have a say in the tolls because the Canadians could set very high tolls when they're mad at us, which would impact the border crossing. So I thought we got a great deal, and I'm really grateful to President Trump and Howard Lutnick and Pete Hoekstra for working with us on this. And we're going to see, hopefully, a bridge opening on July 27th.
So I did have Governor Snyder in here just a few weeks ago, and we did talk about this. And he said that he thought that the president was wrong in his assertion here in terms that Canada did pay for the bridge, and that the agreement was essentially that they were going to get the money from the tolls because, as Governor Snyder put it, it was about commerce coming into the state of Michigan. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, this was a bad deal. The Canadians have been have really mistreated us for the last few years. You look at what they're doing with unfair practices on dairy. They're boycotting a lot of American products. So we have all kinds of problems with the Canadians, but fortunately, this one we were able to get a deal. And the main thing here is, this was going to be at least 80 years before the U.S. got any money from this bridge or Michigan. And so I didn't think that was a good deal. We were in conversations with President Trump's administration. They agreed. And fortunately, we got a better deal because I get the point they're making, but what's wrong with the U.S. getting revenue? So the Canadians agreed, fine, we'll pay you half the toll revenue, and we'll let you have a say on the toll prices. So I don't know why anyone would disagree with the U.S. having more say in this deal.
All right.
In headlines no one saw coming, ha 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 ha. Hold on. Let me get a hold of myself. Taco Bell is giving America diarrhea. Here's more.
Jay Dennis.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been talking about this stomach virus that has been going around, this parasite. Did you get it?
I certainly did. I started coming down with symptoms on a Saturday, and by Sunday, I was basically incapacitated for several days.
Really? It was that long? What was the first symptom that showed up?
I left a get together and I just sort of started feeling a little nauseous, I guess. Oh. And a headache came on along with it. I just thought got too much sun and went to bed, but woke up in the night, stomach a rumbling.
All right. So the nauseous would mean that you felt like it was going to come up one way, but really the problem was it coming out the other way.
If you want to put it that way, yeah.
Being gentle the way I put
this. Yeah, be gentle.
Right, so you're saying that between the start of the symptoms to when it started to, I don't want to use the word explode, but was it within 12 hours, 6 hours? How long did it take?
Oh, yeah, it was within 12 hours. I didn't experience any, intestinal discomfort or anything, out that way.
So by the time you hit the toilet, you knew exactly, like, this is probably it. Did you have any doubt in your mind?
I did because, you know, we've all had stomach issues before. You hope it's one thing, and then it just turns out it's just constant throughout the day. I guess by Monday morning when I went in to get checked out, I rattled off my list of symptoms to the doctor. He said, "Yeah, we can get you tested, but I'm willing to just get you on an antibiotic right now because there's an outbreak. You've got all of the symptoms checked completely off."
They didn't hesitate. They said
they didn't hesitate.
During this time, you're still seeing all the symptoms. Did things get worse or better in that time?
One day things seemed like they were potentially getting better, and then I had another downturn by the end of the day.
Yeah.
I do know that a lot of people who have experienced this have experienced symptoms worse than mine. I was able to, you know, kind of, how do I want to put this? I wasn't like on the throne all day, every day. It would come in fits and starts, and but some people, you know, they call it explosive for a reason. People I've heard have been woken up with the need to go downstairs. I was able to get mostly through the night.
Really?
You know?
Yeah. So from what I understand, the explosive means just
how fast it comes on you.
Yeah.
Yes. You don't realize that it's about to happen.
You got to get to a toilet, yeah, as fast as you can. So they say it normally takes about a week or so before the symptoms start to show. So do you have any idea what might have caused it?
I'm not going to put any particular business or anything on blast like that. But
you don't have to give any specifics,
yeah,
but do you have a suspicion?
I do know that I had tacos about a week and a day before my symptoms first started. That was about a day before I had first heard of the outbreak.
Right.
Okay, let's move on to President Donald Trump's speech on Thursday, where he revealed stunning claims about past election interference attempts and asked Congress to pass the SAVE Act. Here's the Mark Cox Show.
Good morning, Jim Carafano. Welcome back, my friend.
I got to tell you, this whole thing with Iran just reminds me of the play stupid games, win stupid prizes thing.
I get that. And you know, Kim and I were thinking the other day, because I kept saying, I don't know, what's the president waiting on? What's he waiting on? Like, how many more violations of the MOU does he need before he's going to go kick their butt again? And we finally reached a conclusion he was waiting until after the July 4th celebration to do it. Because I can't think of any other reason he would have hesitated that long.
Yeah, well, two things. One, I would say to all the kind of pearl clutchers, and Trump made this horrible deal. The Iranians are going to play him. He's afraid to, you know, do anything else. You guys were like totally out to lunch.
Yes.
But I have a better answer for you than July 4th, which I think is reflects much more deeply who this person is. This is a president who, like Ronald Reagan, believes in peace through strength. He also doesn't like to waste life. Right. And on both sides, you know, you've heard him a million times saying, look, I don't want to see Russians die needlessly in the war any more than Ukrainians. And, you know, we've all heard a really famous story about a couple of years ago when the Iranians shot down a drone and they said, oh, we have to retaliate. And he goes, why am I going to blow up a building in the middle of the night, and kill a janitor? What's that going to prove? Right.
Right.
But every time we do a U.S. military operation, and it doesn't matter how low the casualty figures and losses have been, we put Americans at risk. When he does this, he knows the cost in human life. And so the question always is, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this now? And the answer is because, you know, there's a good reason it's going to protect American interests. So it's not a frivolous call. So I don't think it's about holidays and, you know, UFC fights on the lawn. I think it's because in order to protect America's interests and what we need to do to this country, today, I have to make that tough call.
You know, I wanted to ask you your reaction to the president's speech. Obviously, he downloaded a lot of stuff, made it available on the website there at the White House. I went and looked at some of it. From a national security standpoint, it sounds like there's some pretty serious evidence that China, he mentioned Russia and North Korea as well, has been pretty active in hacking American election websites. How serious a threat is that, in your opinion?
Well, I am deeply critical of the people, you know, as critics who just dismiss this and say, oh, well, there's no proof a vote was moved. That's irrelevant. That's irrelevant. The notion is they've penetrated, you know, a sacred system, our electoral process, and they've stolen massive amounts of data. That is a big issue. So I think there's two things that we should learn. One, we already know, is that China is not our friend and that we have to protect ourselves against malicious Chinese activity. And nobody should diminish or discard or go poo-poo about that. That's just saying I don't love my country and I don't care. And hating Donald Trump is much more important than protecting Americans. That's just butt wrong. But the other is look, there is a unbelievable amount of evidence in this country that we are not effectively safeguarding the integrity of our electoral systems, and that states are not standing up to their responsibilities. And so I get the whole thing that, you know, it's ridiculous to dismiss concerns about China. It's also kind of unbelievable that, no, we have to just not protect our electoral system because Democrats don't want to do that. That's just nonsense. The other thing I would say is, and this is, I think, really, really important, what was gone on in professional intelligence agencies to limit the president of the United States' access to critical information, that's just inexcusable. And I think there are some former people who were in the Trump team who now are kind of persona non grata, and we never really kind of know why. And I think now we kind of know why.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of them are just like never getting to the next White House ball.
Here's more on Save from Tara Servatius.
Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
When you pull the camera out wide and you realize... And I've told you this for a long time. Look, you can't look at it as Iran. You have to look at it as Chiran. And that's what I'll call it. You have to look at it as Chiran. Look at the double, triple redundant system that we can now see the outlines that China and Chiran were building. I mean, China, we know for a fact, hacked our boards of elections. Ironically, walking away with the internal voter data that Democrats will not let Donald Trump have. Because, you know, he wants... all states turn their voter rolls over so we can run them against federal databases and find the fake voters. This morning, many of them, you got to wonder the question, were they signed up with those fake driver's licenses from China? That's the purpose of the 220 million people being in that database, is to have enough internal information on them that China could theoretically register them to vote. Especially in places like California, where you can do it online and you don't have to provide any documentation or proof. I mean, we have a lot of Republican districts in California. Maybe we should have more. I don't know. I got to tell you, if this isn't fixed, Lee, me personally, and those of you listening who get real news, I can't say I will ever trust the outcome of another election again or believe it is real until this threat is mitigated. And Donald Trump was really clear last night in that last 30 seconds of, you know, his speech was honestly the most important. He said, you know, what can you do about all of this? Pass the SAVE Act.
No.
This is not just, hey, you know, China tried to steal the election. What this tells us is if China tries to steal the election, the deep state will protect them. Mm-hmm. And rogue elements still inside the deep state will protect them. They're going to let them do it. You've got one shot to save the Republic. And you know how, speaking of shot, you know how people say, well, you could vote yourself into communism, but then, you know, you got to shoot your way out. Mm-hmm. This is how you can vote yourself out of ever being in communism or ever having to shoot your way out. One act, it's the SAVE Act.
To all Americans, I ask you to pick up your phone tomorrow, call your representatives in the House and Senate, and demand that they pass the Save America Act without delay. Together, we will restore faith and confidence in our country, and we will be bigger, better, and stronger than ever before. Thank you. God bless you. God bless our great military. And God bless America. Thank you very much.
As I've been explaining for many weeks, as I've been tying all this together before the speech, actually months, really, mm-hmm. The SAVE Act has two critical components. Number one, the one everybody knows about and everybody loves, including majority of Democrats, actually more than a majority, over 80%. Hey, you should have to present an ID, prove you are who you are and that you're an American in order to vote. That's not controversial, except to Democrats, because they want to steal the election. Right. They want to steal elections, or I guess help China do it now. I don't know. But so that's critical. But the most important part, I keep telling you this, and he's not going to explain this because he's too wonky and it doesn't matter. Just get it passed. Honestly, the more important part is those rolls, and that all states have to turn over their internal rolls to the federal government. It is a matter of national security at this point. That was the point of that last night. So we can take those rolls and run them against the database that DOJ has put together. It's basically an amalgamation of federal databases. You can run them all at once to see, is this a real voter? Is this a dead voter? Is this a duplicate? Did this person move? And, oh, look, somebody's voting for them. Is this a ghost voter? There were a ton of those in Georgia, thousands of them in that total. They're not real people. We can figure all this out like that using the same technology the credit card companies use to verify you're real. Lee, we've had this technology for over 20 years digitally. Mm-hmm. Used to have to do it manually, like with paper, but we can do it. There's no reason that the government isn't using it, and we have it. We have it. We have got to get our hands on those voter rolls.
And the reason we're in this is because
Savak does that.
The reason that we're in this whole situation, though, is because we have this early voting stuff. We have these mail-in ballots. All of this type of stuff is what has led to the opportunity, rampant opportunity for fraud. And that's why we're here. If we had a situation where there was election day, and other than a few rare cases, you had to show up and vote on election day, and votes were counted on election day that night or you know, whatever immediately following, we wouldn't be in this situation.
No, we wouldn't.
And this thing with mail-in ballots, the problem with mail-in ballots is you lose chain of custody.
Yep.
If there were a vendor that lost a batch of ballots that were being taken to a precinct somewhere, people would be going nuts about that. And rightfully so, because you would have lost chain of custody and you have something out there that could then be used politically to, you know, influence an election. And that's what this is all about. It's about chain of custody of the ballots, and it's about this mail-in balloting and all this other stuff where you have the ballot harvesting and all the other things that you've heard about. These things do happen. How bad are they? We don't know because we can't get a good and honest investigation. And we have members of the media who deny that it's even happening when they then have to report on people who have done it.
But even with everything you're saying is absolutely true, Lee, but if we have to have these darned infernal absentee ballots because we can't win on that count, okay?
Right.
We can still cut down so much of the fraud with these two things that I've just said.
Absolutely.
Like, it's a bare minimum safety harness where, okay, we're going to check every election cycle to make sure only real people are on those election rolls. No fake Chinese, faked people from out of the state. That's why China needs a 220 million strong database with all this info on you so they can register you where they need to, or someone like you or someone at your address. That's how they can do this. Just Democrats know this stuff's on their rolls. They know there's 30 million out there that are fake on these rolls. They know it. That's why they won't turn it over.
I mean, you've even had some Democrats say the quiet part out loud.
Yeah, that's why I keep playing the Chuck Schumer clip. It is one of the most, I'd say, top 10 most devastating clips I've ever played for you, you know, in the 12 years I've been here, because he admits if the SAVE Act passes, 20 to 30 million people are coming off the nation's voter rolls.
And those are not American citizens.
No, and he doesn't even claim they're legitimate voters.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part. And again, if you'd asked me, Lee, I would have put the number tops at 10 million. That's probably all they need to steal the swing states. They can't use the same voters every time. They have to switch it up, right? But no, 20 to 30 million. And listen, I'll listen to this to the end, okay? I've played it so many times. Never in here does he say a legal valid American voter will ever be removed.
They will remove 25 million people off the rolls. Why? What it does is it says every state send your election rolls not to the Justice Department or the voting division, but to the Department of Homeland Security, where Musk and Doge and Vote have installed an algorithm that determines whether you're legitimately right to vote or not. The algorithm is a fix. It'll knock 20 million people, 30 million people off the rolls, and they don't tell you. So Mr. Lawrence O'Donnell could show up at the same voting place he showed up every so often, shown his same ID. Sorry, you're not on the rolls anymore, sir. Well, what do I do about it? Next week, go to the Board of Elections. Trump knows he will lose the election. He said it.
Okay.
And what he said is technically wrong.
No, it's total lie because, again, these are state boards, state rules. There are no federal rules. Trump cannot remove a single person from a voter roll. Homeland Security can't do it. Nobody at the federal level can do it. It's impossible.
But,
unless they take a blowtorch to a Board of Election, break in Watergate style, and get on the computer. I mean, I don't know how else they do it.
But what he also said, though, is technically wrong, because if you show up at a voting location and they say, sorry, you're not on the rolls, you can still vote a provisional ballot.
Oh, my gosh, I forgot about that. Yeah, good.
What he's saying is technically wrong.
Yeah.
And they know this. Because now a provisional ballot means you'll only vote in the overall broad election, because they can't determine whether or not that you're voting at the correct precinct. So you won't be able to vote for like the local county council or city council or whatever it is. But a provisional ballot, which is the broad, larger election races, you'd still be able to vote.
But you know what? That's not going to happen, because legitimate Americans are not going to be taken off the voter rolls.
Right, exactly.
That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Because if Donald Trump says, hey, this is a legitimate American, who's going to take you off the voter rolls? The California State Board of Elections? It's not going to happen. What he is compiling here, what we'll get from the SAVE Act is two things. It'll be mind-bending. A list of everyone who's fake voter, ghost voter, dead voter, moved, but someone's still voting for them, all of that. And it's 20 to 30 million, according to Chuck. We're going to get a list. What can we do? Can we take them off? Unfortunately, no. Then we go to those states' boards of elections and we sue them. And we say, these people are fake. They are not real. Take them off. Oh, and by the way, here's how many of them have voted in the last five elections or three elections or whatever. They need to be prosecuted. Here's their names. We put it online. We put it on X. They cannot hide it. And then guess what? You put those lists out there. Just dump them. The names, not the private information, the social security numbers and stuff. But just the names and the addresses, which, by the way, you can get right now at the Board of Elections. In fact, you can get it online. You just can't get the social security numbers, right? You know what's going to happen when they dump those lists of here's who all the fake voters are? Everybody and their mama in the basement is going to get on the state Board of Elections and start going through and go, wow, Rosemary Smith from Guatemala, who's an illegal immigrant, not legally here. She's voted in the last three elections. So right here. Mm-hmm. And then that'll be like a nuclear bomb going off. But we've got to get the SAVE Act passed. Yep. And this means defeating four evil, and you have to be evil at this point to put up with this, Republicans. And this is why I made such a big deal of the link between Lindsey Graham dying and the SAVE Act, because nobody was doing the math for about 5 minutes. God bless him. I hope he's resting in peace. But Mitch McConnell was a no vote because, of course, we know he's thoroughly owned by China. I mean, he got $25 to $60 million, disclosed it from China by the shipping company that his wife's daddy was given by the Chinese Communist Party. And then he turned around and wrote him a $25 to $60 million check. Must be nice. So naturally, he's pro-China and against the SAVE Act. Can't imagine why else you'd vote against it. We got four Republicans. When Lindsey Graham was a yes vote, he was for the SAVE Act. When he died, because Mitch McConnell is in the hospital and was a no vote, we temporarily had the votes to pass that thing. Still do, unless they can resurrect McConnell's corpse and walk him in one last time. Can you picture it, Lee? What, are they going to roll him in there, pick up his finger and mash no for the SAVE Act? This is where they are. This is why it was so, they were so desperate, John Thune and all of those other people. Oh, yes, I talked to him last week. He was very chipper, very nice, cool. Can you send me a video of that? No, I can't. Timestamp video? How about that? No. Are you going to send us a photo? Okay, sure. So it all comes down to the SAVE Act, folks. Our last chance to save the Republic before having to shoot our way out. It's going to all go down over the next 4 years. But look, the good news is this. If nothing else, if the SAVE Act doesn't pass, if nothing else happens, at least we got the whole plot. We know how they did it, and we have put them on notice. We know what you're doing this time. We're going to watch you. And I think that alone, hopefully, Lee, will be enough, hopefully, to stop the worst of it in 26 and 28.
We'll leave you with Bob Rose.
Time now for the smoking gun. A 33-year-old Canadian woman named Caitlin Tracy, currently cooling her heels right now in an ICE custody detention center, being accused of assaulting a juvenile over the 4th of July weekend. What was the juvenile doing that irritated her? Well, it was the sin of wearing pro-Trump clothing. Oh, my. So the teen and three friends were on the boardwalk when she approached them with her phone on, and she yelled at two people in the group wearing patriotic colored sweatpants and slapped the victim across the face and body. Yep. Tracy entered America in 2024 using a passport, but is a Canadian citizen, not an American citizen, according to her husband. ICE came in and hauled her away. And that's a good thing. It's also your smoking gun.
Thank you for listening to Red Meat, a collection of conservative audio from Odyssey's talk stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in, listen wherever you get podcasts, and smash that subscribe button.